By the way, I have started recording, just so you know.
Oh, well, okay. Now you got some little clippy clips.
Can I see your bubbies? Just put your chest up, Eve.
My bubbies. Oh,
let's see this. What does it say?
Grab him by the ballot. Nice.
Hey everyone, welcome to Gen X Stories, a podcast about how the so-called lost generation found itself. We are your hosts, Eve, Courtney, Lori, and Chris. And on today's episode, we are talking about food. Stuff we loved eating when we were growing up, stuff that we crave now, and maybe even stuff that we would have on our holiday tables, because this is going to be released around Thanksgiving. Basically, brace yourselves. All right, on with the show. Hi, guys.
Hi, Eve.
Hey, Eve. How's it going?
I am so excited to learn why about pie, because I can rhyme, but why you love pie, Chris?
I think it's just, it's food in its purest form.
Because it can get tucked inside.
Yes, put it in pan, put some kind of sauce around it, throw some kind of crust over it, bake it. Delicious, savory, sweet, it doesn't matter. And it's convenient too.
Because you can take a hand pie?
No, it's just there's no plating involved, which is generally
you just, like eat it out of the pan?
No, but you just cut a little slice and get a little spoon.
Oh, okay.
Put it into a bowl and done and done. It's delicious.
You get all your food groups in one fell swoop.
You can, yeah.
Do you have a favorite pie? Like a favorite sweet and a favorite savory?
I like a shepherd's pie.
Ooh, yes.
It's not technically a pie because you have, but you can also have it with like a flaky crust on the top, which is delicious, especially if there's Guinness or a dark stout in there that you cook everything down with. And then sweet, it doesn't matter. Just give me anything. It's delicious.
Did you grow up with pie? Is that how you sort of ended up in the pie world? Well, I didn't.
I did. I have to say, now I know what to do for Chris for any holiday or birthday from now on.
Send a pie.
Yeah, I always request, and I don't do birthdays very much unless there's goats, but I do enjoy a birthday
goats pie. And pies.
Yeah, I get a birthday pie every year instead of a cake.
Do you get like a candle in the pie?
I don't have children, but you know, nieces and nephews, they sort of request it. So it's part of more for them than for me. I know how old I am, so just pop one candle in there. That's just fine.
Yeah, one is fine. Just enough for the wish.
So you never had a birthday cake growing up? Your birthday?
Oh, sure,
always,
I did.
Oh, it did.
Yeah, but it's like it's just cakes. I found to be always underwhelming.
Do you ladies feel the same about cake versus pie?
I like ice cream. So the only point of having cake. Well, the only point of having a cake is to have the ice cream.
I thought the only point of having a pie was having the ice cream.
Yeah, go to the pie. I don't do it with it.
No.
Straight up pie. I don't want ice cream to interfere.
I like pie.
No, you don't put ice cream with pie. Pie straight up.
I agree.
Oh my God, you guys.
I'll put ice cream on anything. My mom used to make all my birthday cakes because it made me nauseous to think about people putting their hands in my food.
So you were pre-COVID, you already knew what not to do.
I still get like, you know, when you watch those cooking shows and they do the fondant and they never are wearing gloves. I'm not a germaphobe. It's just one of those things with cakes and pies. When I see them doing it and their hands have been all over it and I'm like, oh God, I can't eat that.
You do know they bake these things, right?
Yeah. Well, the Great British Bake Off could not have you be a judge because you have to eat all that stuff.
Oh, that would be awful.
Well, wait. So, Lori, so
ice cream cake was your thing.
Well, I love ice cream cakes, but my mom used to make my regular cakes because I trusted my mom.
What's your favorite combo of cake ice cream?
It's always vanilla ice cream and it's always white cake.
What?
I have a vanilla thing. I love vanilla.
Yeah, but you didn't say vanilla. You just said white cake. So,
I mean, well, you know, white cake, vanilla
a bland cake.
Cake
and ice cream is what you want.
I don't like things overly sweet.
Wait a minute.
Did you realize that cake has nothing but butter, flour, and
I
sugar,
know, but right? I like when you start adding more, and don't start with the candy corn. I know that's where you're going.
No, okay. I'm not going to step
no, but
candy
Eve
corn.
Was. Eve was. But I eat like little tiny bits at a time.
Lori, if we made you a cake in the shape of a candy corn decorated with vanilla ice cream on the side, that would be like your greatest birthday ever.
That would be amazing.
Because it'd be white cake. But colored icing.
Because our hands would have touched
it. No, I trust you.
Oh, okay.
We're in the pot.
It's the grocery store stuff. And they put lard in the frosting and
there has to be some deep-seated roots. So we know that your mother was okay. You were okay with your mother, but you weren't
okay.
She made
buttercream frosting. So it didn't have all that lard and Crisco. Because that's how they make that stuff stiff.
I mean, if you're from the South, that's it. Like, just whip up some lard and throw some sugar in it. That's the way they do it. Yeah.
It's true.
But she's not from the South.
I know, but that's what grocery stores do.
I don't know. I'm not a cake or a pie person, although I got into trouble with my ex-husband because he was a pie person. Who's ever heard of cheese on an apple pie?
Yes. You have to have a sharp cheddar. Hello. What? It's so good. Yeah,
you can do it. Okay. See, Lori and I are together because he kept saying if you get apple pie, there's no a la mode. There is sharp cheddar cheese on top of it.
Yeah. I mean, I've had it. It's not my first choice, but.
So Courtney, what, do you like it or have you heard of it?
I've had it. Okay. So I'm the freak that likes to put creme fraiche on things. So like you have the tang with the sweet. Like I like that contrast.
Okay.
Or sour cream. I don't care. But I'm a purist. Like I like pie, like traditional, straight up, awesome apple pie. But I also do a version where I do toasted pecans and caramel that's sort of like baked on top. So it's like just, oh, so good. And then another version where you have slices of sharp cheddar cheese with it. And you just get that like bite from the cheese and the sweet from the apple. And then that flaky, I mean, Jesus God, people, I'm just having a good time by myself over here.
I've never heard of this.
Not only that, sometimes it get baked into the crust. And so you would have like that crust with cheddar in it. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I mean, it's sort of like the, if anybody's in sort of a cheese course kind of thing where you get your sharp, you get your smoky, and you get your stinky cheeses, and you have some grapes for a little bit of sweetness or apple slices, and then you have a glass of port wine. Yeah, or some bread and a nice glass of port. So you get all of those sort of sweetened.
With the baguette.
Oh, well, I like it just straight up or just a little cracker. But
it's carb free.
So that sounds really sophisticated.
Courtney is insisting on the baguette on this picture.
Here's the thing. Like, okay, I grew up in England. I lived in Europe. I studied in Europe. I traveled abroad. So the cheapest meal you could get was a baguette, which is subsidized. Whatever local bread is available, you get a cheap piece of fruit and you buy a cheap piece of cheese, which is delicious. And so you just like eat those three things and you have a whole meal. It's great.
Like a nice Stilton or something.
Back to the Stilton.
Stilton's great.
Stinky cheeses. This is all very sophisticated grown-up talk.
This is not 80s food.
Where did that come from? Is your sophistication
moving out of the Midwest?
There you go. So your love of food, what was it like as a kid?
Limited. It remind everybody about going to a grocery store in the 70s. It's like you go down the vegetable aisle and like, oh, there's iceberg and some cucumbers and some carrots and onions. And that's about it. There wasn't, you're not getting watercress. You're not getting bok choy.
You're getting baby arugula. There are no baby carrots.
No.
Full size carrots. You're peeling them and cutting them at home.
It was very limited. Oh, so I think that as cooking sort of became interesting or people did more of it at home or became more fashionable. And depending where you live, where we grew up outside of Chicago, Chicago is a big food town, but you sort of think of sausage and pizza. But within there, there's great. Yeah, exactly. There's great Mexican food. Great Italian food. And then as people started moving around, then you found Vietnamese food and all the different foods of the world. And I think that as we've traveled more and the world's become smaller, those flavors have come in. And thank God we're not eating shit on a shingle, which is that Carl Budding beef. You ever have that cream beef on toast?
I don't think I ever ate it, but I think I saw a picture of it.
It surprisingly, it brings you back to childhood because it was like
your salty past.
I was a 12-year-old with hypertension and a cholesterol problem.
Lori, when you were growing up, did you have any sort of local favorites as a kid? You mentioned at one point that your mother made tamales.
No, my grandmother.
Your grandmother made tamales. Yeah. Did you sit there and help her make them, or was it just one of those, like, it's for dinner, you just eat it?
No, it was a thing. I could live off of tamales.
Any particular kind?
There's only one kind. Chili and pork, in my mind. So it was Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, and then if you could bribe her at any time.
So like, what do you bribe her with? Like, you give her, like, a pork shoulder under the table or something?
No, you go and love up on her and hug her and say, could you please make tamales? And then she would. I'm the oldest grandchild. I got away with everything. Homemade tortillas. Okay. So you would literally sit there waiting for the tortillas. And the minute they came off of the comal, right, that hot iron thing that they
presses them?
Cooked them on. No, that you cooked them on.
Oh.
Because you can't just cook them, like, on the stove. It's like a cast irony kind of thing. And it would come off of there and you would have a stick of butter and you would just lather it and then you would eat it.
Damn. Did you learn how to make them from her?
No. Of course I wanted her to, but I don't know about your families, but nobody writes down recipes. At least Mexican families, they don't write down recipes. It's just a pinch of this and a little bit of this and you grab it and you mush it and then you just can feel. I'm like, no, I can't feel. What? How much?
But if you're baking something, it requires a little bit more attention. I can cook with a general idea of recipes. Mm-hmm. And I think my mother did, and certainly things that were made within the family. Like, my grandmother's part Hungarian, so she would make a delicious goulash. We always thought it was mom's, you know, grandma's goulash. And then we realized that grandma got out of a
Betty Crocker goulash book.
But she had something in her hands, I bet, that made it taste better. That's what I always say about my grandmother's hands. They must have had flavor in their hands because it tasted different. Like, my dad can make something that his mom made. It's very good, but it does not taste like my grandma's. And he does the exact same stuff.
So the secret ingredient is love.
Oh,
Yes. Grandma's love. So, my grandmother is Icelandic.
Ooh, would you get?
Oh, so, did you have any of that nasty fermented fish head or whatever?
This is what I say. This, you guys give me shit. No. I can't even get a fucking there's this, like, thing out. That, like, Chris is on my ass. Like, there, nobody can
jump like Norwegian on me. Fish. It's a thing.
There's something in Iceland that's just, like, so horrific. In
every culture, there's a stinky food.
There is. Yeah,
God, this is sure. This is, like, clear the entire room kind of nasty kind of stuff. What's it called? You must know. Come on, if you're part Icelandic.
I did not say anything about your shit. Just trying to tell my little story. Chris is on my ass every time I bring something up.
Tell your story.
Every time.
Icelandic grandma. On my ass,
putting it down.
What'd you get? What'd you get as a kid? She's not going to tell us. Now she's not. Oh, come on. Tell us, please. We'll be quiet.
So grandmas are great. I have one of my grandmothers is Icelandic, and we used to make stuff together. One of the things we'd make would be called kleiner, which is their kind of, it's not a donut, but it's kind of cooked in the same way. Like you have a dough and you make it into this cute little like shape, and then mm-hmm. you have to put it in the, and the thing that was so funny is that it's not designed to flip on its own. Like a cruller, it's like you twist it. And so it rolls in the oil on its own. But this one, you have to sit over the pan and actually hand flip it. So you're actually standing and talking, and you have to do a couple at a time. So it's slow and you get a little chance to hang out. And then there's a traditional dish for Christmas we make called honkekjøtt, which is this beautiful.
Say that again. Because that was very cool the way you said it.
Honkekjøtt, which please Icelanders don't like jump all over me because I've got an American accent saying this stuff.
Okay, so what is that?
It's a beautiful smoked leg of lamb. Ooh. And you just slowly cook it and all the fats and juices get in it. And then you slice it off and you have it with these beautiful boiled potatoes that have like a light a sort of creamy flour, light sauce, like a bechamel with peas in it. Ooh. And then you have this beautiful cabbage on the side with fennel seed. Anyway, I learned how to make that from her, and it's hard to get, and certainly it's hard to get now, but I try to make it every year for my family, and I end up eating the whole thing because not everybody likes lamb. I love lamb.
Oh, I do too.
I'm part Greek as well. Used to have a lot of lamb in the Greek restaurants around Chicago, but then went to New Zealand during lambing season. I was like, nope, done. I just can't.
Is it really?
Oh yeah, because I mean, I haven't seen it. Like, it's not like a ritualistic slaughter that they have when you get off the plane. It's, but you get there when the lambs are all being born, and they're like frolicking. There's 15 million of them compared to 3 million people, or even more than that, and they're everywhere. And I'm like,
all the more reason.
Couldn't do it. So
because you fell in love with cute little lambies.
I'm that soft.
They're frolicking to build that muscle for you, Chris. Yeah. To make it extra tasty.
The lamb and the veal, I just can't do. If it ends up on my plate and somebody makes it, I'll be like, oh, okay, but I'm not going to seek it out. But I'm getting back to the stinky fish. And okay. I looked it up for a second. It's
called, you totally like took me down for eating.
No.
So
it's called like,
I'm not taking it down.
It's hakart.
I'm eating the babies.
It's called hakart, and it's fermented shark head. Tony Bourdain said it's the most awful thing
everything comes ever from eaten. Tony Bourdain. Yes. Yes. But basically, it's just like the Eskimos. You have to find a way to preserve your food, right? And so part of what they did was in letting it rot on the outside, it protects it on the inside.
Absolutely.
So that's just part of it.
They didn't have salt, so they used like lye. So
and they also put, you know, orange Fanta in beer. I mean, there's all sorts of interesting things. Like when you're on an island with 250,000 people, you get creative, right? Like in the time of COVID, have you gotten creative with your pantry? I think so. So let's give the Icelanders a little bit of leeway. They also love hot dogs. For a man who likes hot dogs, Chris, the greatest hot dog stand in the world is off the main center square. And it's open 24 hours a day. It's amazing.
We call them snappy dogs. Because when you're over in Iceland, there's a little smoked paprika taste to them. They're a mixture of everything. I don't even know what's in them. But there's lamb, there's beef, there's pork. And they have this just little snap to them. They're unbelievably delicious. At a place in Reykjavik, or if you even like just stopping in a little roadside cafe, they're amazing. So if you're ever in Iceland, Courtney and I say, make sure you get a snappy dog. They're delicious.
I knew that Iceland was actually known for food. You know, and this is, remember, this is coming from a Jew who...
Just make a brisket. It'll be fine.
You want to talk about stinky fish. You want to talk about terrible food. My mother would come home and her grandmother would make her own gefilte fish. And if you guys know what gefilte fish is, it's carp. So mom would say hi to grandma. She'd go to the bathroom and swimming in the tub were carp about to be slaughtered to be made into gefilte fish.
God.
That's very kosher.
I didn't know where you were going when you said she walked into the bathroom. I was a little concerned.
I was too. I was like, oh my God, where's she going?
That's very resourceful. It's like you get a bucket of fish, you throw it in the tub until you're ready, until it's chow time. And then, yeah.
You usually throw some ice and beer in the tub. But not juice. Carp was new for me.
My mother's generation, she grew up with the history of the carp. So anything came out that wasn't good, she'd be like, be lucky that it's not the bathtub carp. Like, well, that's helpful.
Bathtub carp. Oh my
God. It's bathtub gin? No, it's bathtub gefilte fish.
Because Jewish food is some of the most disgusting stuff. I mean, a lot of people will argue with me, and I'm sure we'll get people who will say, you are so off your fucking rocker.
I'm going to agree. I'm going to go right. No, there's some of it that's delicious.
See, okay, but I don't eat fish. Oh. And so I don't eat any seafood. And so the notion of like white fish salad, blocks. Delicious.
Oh my God, delicious.
Chicken liver. Have you ever had the gefilte fish, how it's served? They put this goo on top.
No, I'm not doing this.
Okay. Chris, you can't like the goo on the gefilte fish.
I'm not a big gefilte fish person, but give me a good matzo ball soup. Delicious. Give me a good deli sandwich.
Yes.
Delicious. And some pickles and potato salad is delicious.
I was going to say, Courtney, that Icelandic food, some of it sounds very much like old school Jewish food. Old school.
It's got, look, you get flounder that's this thick and tender. Oh my gosh. Seafood. It's simple, basic food.
Right. Do you guys know, non-Jews, do you know the history of matzo balls? The two different kinds of matzo balls?
I didn't know there were two different kinds.
There's two different kinds of matzo balls.
educate me.
Back to grandma food. I had one grandmother who would make floaters, which are those wonderful, fluffy, light type of matzo balls that you eat. And it's like, this is Jewish food. And then I had one grandmother who made sinkers, which are tightly.
I love this terminology.
We call them, they're called floaters and sinkers.
It's very appetizing.
The sinkers end up at the bottom of your chicken soup bowl and the floaters sit on top. And the floaters, you're okay afterwards. Sinkers, not so much.
It's something that sort of has neutral buoyancy, you know, like a scuba diver with a belt on. Split the difference.
Matzo balls go one or two ways. They go floaters or sinkers. So I had one grandmother, whenever she would bring matzo ball soup, be like, oh my God, we're getting great matzo ball. And the other soup, it's like, thanks, grandma.
Feeding that to the cat later.
Because you know,
love you grandma.
Suffer from eating one of those matzo balls because it just sits in your stomach like a fucking rock.
Did it still taste good, even though you knew it was going to be like in your stomach like that? Was the flavor still good, even though it was a sinker?
It depended, you know, again, it depended on how much anger you used to squeeze them that tight.
What's your position on latkes? Okay. There's a lot of debate about that, I know. So I've been to latke parties. I've been to latke competitions.
Anyone who says it's like chopped up potato, no bueno. That's not a latke. That's a hash brown. A latke has to be shredded potato, and then you have to squeeze it out, and then you have to be covered in the film of being over the oven with all the fat. Not bacon fat, but like chicken schmaltz is the best way to cook a real latke, which is chicken fat. That's a legitimate cooked on either side, fried latke. That's the way to go. If anyone gives you something that's like the size of your head and made out of chopped up potato, they were not brought up right.
Is there any sort of special seasoning or preferred thickness or crispiness? Because I've been to parties where like there are 25 different kinds of latkes on the table. They're all different. They're all family recipes. And then everyone votes anonymously for which one they like best. And there's a little prize at the end.
What? You go, wait. You have a latke competition?
I don't host it. I have been to many of these at friends' houses.
Condiments or sour cream? Sour cream and applesauce.
I like both, but what am I?
White people.
What do I know?
Do you guys remember when Thanksgiving and Hanukkah hit on the same time? I made sweet potato latkes for Thanksgiving.
I mean, where did you prepare it the exact same way?
I mean,
just sweet potatoes.
You shredded the sweet potatoes. You do the same thing with the egg and you smush and you fry the fuck out.
Was it yummy?
Sounds delicious.
I know that one I like. I'm totally down for that.
They were great. Again, Thanksgiving and Hanukkah don't tend to ever be that close. But the fact that they hit at the same time, I'm all Jew.
We're going to bring her that. Can you share that recipe in the show notes, Eve?
Sure. It was great. But back to your latke, that you've actually been to latke competitions.
This is just a family party.
But part of the party,
it's like a big Hanukkah party. And part of the party is if you want to bring latkes, then you bring them and everyone takes a nosh and it's a good time.
Oh my God, you just said nosh.
Dude, I went to Penn.
Wait, Chris and I went to Brandeis. He doesn't say nosh.
No, I got Goya's Guide to Yiddish in my junk. Come on.
I've been known to nosh it up a bit.
Oh, nice. Well, you did mention a Jewish deli. We've talked basically about food. Are there special holiday recipes that you grew up eating that you still do, or are there recipes that you hated when you were a kid and you'll never touch them again?
Strictly holiday or just in general?
Let's talk about holiday. Let's talk first about, I mean, this is coming out around Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a food holiday. Like, did your mother cook fabulous Thanksgiving meals?
Yes.
Lori, did you have fabulous Thanksgiving meals?
I don't remember.
She doesn't even know where she is.
We must have.
That answers the question.
I actually love Thanksgiving. I used to have a Thanksgiving party. I don't know. I love it. I love the food. I'm kind of a traditional Thanksgiving person, though.
Turkey and stuffing.
Just your turkey, mashies, and sweet potatoes. And
yeah, right. There cannot be oysters in your stuffing.
Thank you.
No oysters allowed.
Who puts oysters in stuffing?
If you're from New England, you put the oysters in there. If you're from
A New Englander, it's not happening.
You can put that. But generally, my feeling is that, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, the turkey is underwhelming.
It is.
You're like, oh, yay, turkey. And everybody's like, man, you just sort of shove it around in your plate. You get one slice after, you know, somebody has literally bought like 40 pounds after doing bad math and thinking, well, everybody needs 2 pounds of turkey.
Right.
That'll work.
It's just a vehicle for all the side dishes.
That's all it is. And the turkey is, if you don't like dark meat, the breasts can very easily dry out and they're kind of disappointing, or maybe it's not seasoned right. My mother made a nice turkey because it was never too big. It never had to be in the oven for as long as it did to sort of kill it. And she was very good at comfort foods, especially around Thanksgiving.
I think that's why I like Thanksgiving. It's comfort food.
Yeah. And I like different kinds of stuffing, but if push came to shove, I like just the old traditional stuffing as it was. But as we've gotten older, I'll put kale in your stuffing. Is like, no, put kale in the garbage. Doesn't belong in stuffing. Walnuts in there. No, some celery, some onion, some
kale
parsley,
in the garbage. That's awesome.
Some broth. Stuff it in there. And here's the important thing is get the giant 9x12 Pyrex and make that also for the stuffing. The stuffing in the bird, people want more of the stuffing than that you're going to be able to cram into that bird.
I don't understand the difference between stuffing and dressing. My understanding was the stuffing goes in the bird. The dressing is in the side dish.
Or you can put it in the pan or something like that. I believe that's my understanding. Okay. It doesn't really matter. It's the most delicious part of Thanksgiving. It's just nothing but carbs.
Mashies are the best.
You can get that anytime.
You can get it at
Bob's Big Boy. In August, you're not going to go, boy, I really want to make some stuffing. It requires some work. But mashed potatoes are like, they're so ubiquitous.
Mashies.
They're so ubiquitous.
We used to make mashed sweet potatoes, but what we used to do is we would like cut off the top of an orange, like cut about third way down, scoop out the inside, right? And you'd use that if you wanted to have a cranberry orange relish or just, you know, regular cranberry as well. So you'd have like these orange things, and then you'd make the sweet potatoes, and then you'd put the mashed sweet potato into the orange. And then I would always get to decorate it with the mini marshmallows on top with all the designs. Sure. And then it goes back in the oven. Oh my God, it's so good. I love it. I still make it to this day. And even if you don't do the oranges, like the oranges are kind of fussy, but even if like, we just put it in the Pyrex, right? So now my son gets to put all the marshmallows on.
I think that if you're going to take a left turn on Thanksgiving, and Christmas is not a big deal. Christmas is just like...
Wait. Back the fuck up.
No, we're going to start with Thanksgiving. That is the cornerstone, the benchmark, the fulcrum of the family dining experience throughout the year in the United States. Start with just the basics. If you want,
he does not believe you.
If you want to add something that's a little left turnish, oh, I'm going to make a cranberry mint orange chutney to go with this. Make sure you have a regular cranberry sauce too, so people can.
You always have to have the staples.
You have to have the staples, and people can try the little dab of something that you tried and go, oh, this is interesting, which means this tastes like shit, and pass the stuff that we like. Oh, I tried something new, which means this is going to be awful. Bury it on top of the turkey that nobody wanted. That's how you get through. Give it to the dog.
Here's a poll among the four of us. Cranberry sauce, sort of loose and perfect, and you know, make your usual cranberry sauce. And if you're like Courtney, you make cranberry orange, you make it perfect and fussy.
No. Cranberry orange is the extra. That is not the staple. Let's be clear.
That's a little left turn.
What about the stuff that comes out of the can and stays in its shape?
You have to have that too. You have to have the cranberry jelly.
Yep.
You have to have the cranberry sauce and then whatever else anybody else wants to make. But those two have to be on the table.
Love
it.
You love the log.
The splunk or the splork. The sonic when it comes out. And that's good the next day. If you make a turkey sandwich, yes. You slice that and put it on top and with a little stuffing.
Yes. Yes.
Good Lord.
Yes. Carb sandwich.
It's basically
cranberry sauce.
But what about sweet potatoes?
Absolutely.
With the marshies and the brown sugar?
Just we like to do it with a little rosemary and smash it.
See, so, but that's your grown up. What about was it marshmallows
It was brown sugar and marshmallows on top. So it was like okay. Diabetes in a Pyrex.
Yes.
What about casserole?
Yeah, but here's the bad thing: the casserole in the Midwest means open a can of Campbell's soup and throw it on top of it.
Yes.
Yeah, it was no. mushroom soup on top of
cream of mushroom. That's what we had back then. It was like if you could get sort of past that salt bomb and it's all Campbell's soup. I'm glad they're not a sponsor. You know, it was fine, but
now like,
making it by yourself, making a room now by yourself with your homemade chicken stock, that's so much better.
Homemade chicken stock, not even
are
just
you
like
making homemade chicken stock, Chris?
We do.
I'm going to come by for my tub.
And we come
you're
and
fancy.
We, it's my wife too. She does more of the cooking than I do. I'm a good one pot person. I'm a good braiser. You know, okay. Anything that requires plating and garnish, I don't do.
I don't remember my mother cooking anything. I honestly, God, I'm sorry to say, I can't remember. But for some reason, I think she must have made stove top because she figured you had to have stuffing, and that sort of stuck with me as like that's the only thing stuffing was until I became an adult.
That's a salt bomb.
It is a salt bomb. And she never did that for anything else. But for some reason, stovetop stuck with me. But I loved stuffing so much that when I grew up, I was making stuffing. And my ex-husband, maybe another reason why he's an ex, called it wet bread. And he refused to eat it.
Wet bread.
Wet bread. I'm like, this is not wet bread. And then I'm making
kind of what I call it. I don't like it.
You don't like stuffing?
You don't like stuffing?
I can't talk to you anymore.
Bland and boring and dry.
Lori, you have not had my stuffing.
Or mine. I make a stuffing. So through.
Which basically is wet bread, so you know you probably wouldn't like it anyway.
See, it's wet bread.
It's delicious.
It's moist bread. Moist.
Intrinsically, it is wet bread because after that, I'm making it. I'm like, well, the bread is kind of damp. You know, it's kind of, it does, but it bakes up and it's fabulous.
Leaping ahead another holiday into.
Wait. I have a question on this holiday. This holiday. So what is y'all's take? Because I'm curious for Lori, because she doesn't like the stuffing. What's your take on cornbread at Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Because we always have cornbread as well. Lori, do you like cornbread?
I like it, but it gets dry. So you have to put like 10 pounds of butter on it.
And the problem is?
Nothing.
Say that's not a problem.
Nothing. There's no problem with that.
But there's cornbread stuffing too.
Which she won't eat.
I won't eat it.
So Courtney, cornbread stuffing or regular bread stuffing?
I make both.
Well, she's not going to.
How many people do you feed?
I have a lot of either with family. Usually I'm with family or.
But so
I
also like to we cook. Have two stuffings. We've got several cranberries.
Right. Mashed potatoes, I'm sure. And then
we've got
and
sweet
then.
Potatoes and mashed potatoes.
There's a protein
and this
somewhere.
Is a problem. Why?
None. I'm just asking. It's a lot of food. I like it because it lasts longer. I'll take Thanksgiving dinner any day. I love it.
We do it more than one day a year. We do it more than one day a year here. Yeah.
Really? Why?
I cook it probably three times a year.
Like the whole shebang?
My husband's very happy.
And probably comatose.
Again, very happy.
I want to get back to the chestnut part of it. I'm jumping ahead. I don't know if anybody's had a chance to walk around New York City during the winter when they're roasting the chestnuts. I'm just going to go and say for a fact that when they're roasting the chestnuts, they smell like baked cat vomit. That's what they smell like when you're walking down the street in Midtown Manhattan and they're roasting those things. So that's that. I just have a natural aversion to that because of that pungent, sharp smell. And
are
I'm
you
like,
sure you're not just smelling the sewer as you're walking?
No. I'm well versed.
I mean, these poor guys.
I'm well
trying to make a living, and you've just eviscerated them.
No, I mean, I love street meat, but man, the chestnuts. It's like that's old school nostalgia. It's like no, it tastes wretched.
It tastes great. Oh my gosh! One of my favorite crepe fillings is crème de marron, which is chestnut paste. It's like having nut bread.
That's different though, but when it's roasted, that it smells like burnt rubber and.
I disagree.
Can you eat? Wait, can you eat cilantro, or does it taste like soap to you? Because maybe
like
you have
cilantro.
One of those taste buds.
I like cilantro. Do you eat cilantro?
No, because it tastes like soap.
There you go. Right. Well, okay, so one of us. I love cilantro.
I love cilantro. My husband can't stand it because it tastes like soap.
I'm the worst Mexican out there. I hate it. Seriously.
Did you grow up with it and you determined that you hated it early or did it come later? Okay.
Yeah, I've never liked it. I don't like onions. I don't like tomatoes. if you
wait.
What?
Tomatoes?
Yeah, I don't like tomatoes.
Perfect says no.
Wait. if you blend them and stuff like that, it's a texture thing, like a raw tomato.
Oh.
So my salsa always had to be blended.
Brady doesn't eat tomatoes because they're part of the nightshade family. That's why he stays so young.
Other than winning the Super Bowls and having a beautiful wife and being a gazillionaire, he has no joy in his life because he's eating like dirt and like sunflower seeds, just basically have his sustenance. I go back to the Julia Child, everything in moderation.
Butter. A little bit of butter.
And throw some butter on it. Yeah.
Butter was not in moderation.
If you're from the Midwest, it's like, oh, we got the turkey. Now we got to do the ham.
The ham.
And at one point, we're just like, what do you do with you buy 110 pounds of ham, you eat about three of it, and then it sits in your fridge. You make the split ham. Pea soup. Oh, yeah, nice. But I did that one year, and I stood in the goddamn line for 2 hours to get that goddamn ham. I'm never doing that again.
The honey baked ham?
The honey baked. I'm like, Liz is like, just go and pick it up. I'm like, great. Pull it in Burbank. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
So honey bake and Campbell's are not sponsoring. Okay.
Exactly. Got that. But we did one year.
Chestnut community.
Chestnut. Yeah. I'm fine with all that. And throw eggplants into there because they're just mealy.
Oh, good God, man.
I think we've talked about this before. They're horrible. It's a horrible, horrible food. Doesn't matter.
You'd be a terrible Jew. You'd be a terrible Jew because you wouldn't. Eggplant. You don't eat baba ghanoush.
No. Well, I mean, it tastes like old socks.
Wait, are you part Greek? Is that what you said earlier?
I am part Greek. Yeah.
How does he not like
you?
I know.
Eggplant is disgusting. Eggplant is disgusting. And everybody's like, no, you gotta try my mom's recipe or my aunt's. It's like, no, it's gross and tastes awful. I'm 50 years old. I don't have to eat it ever again.
You don't have. No, you don't.
And cream spinach. You go to a steakhouse, you get there, you know, like Peter Luger's in Brooklyn or something. Spinach creamed, disgusting.
Yeah,
just salty. Take that thing and throw it in the garbage. It's horrible.
Right with the kale.
Yeah,
one quick Thanksgiving thing. I don't know if any of your parents have ever done this. I think when my mother was first married, she didn't know that the giblets are in a little plastic bag in the cavity. Yep. And she just put the turkey in the oven. It was her first Thanksgiving.
Oh my God.
They take the bird out. It looks beautiful on the outside. They have a smell of plastic. So,
hey, those things are hard to get out every once in a while. You got to dig in there.
She never knew. And so I think that that's why I didn't have a lot of turkey growing up for Thanksgiving because my mother was tarnished.
She got a little gun shy about it, huh?
By cooking the giblets.
Poor thing.
Oh, dear. Yeah,
I don't know, but that's her excuse.
And so we do the food and then like everybody's like, football. And then, you know, then there's football. And then at least when I was a kid, the parents would say, go hang out with your cousins in the basement.
What did you do?
We just wrecked everything. And then we started beating each other up until parents would like scream down, you know, quit beating up
killing each other.
Yes. Quit killing each other. Knock it off. I'm going to come down there and that kind of stuff. And then parents would be upstairs and everybody was smoking and having some beers and watching the football game. I heard this one interesting thing. I wish I could remember who said this. Comedian who had, I think, the best way to sort of run a Thanksgiving dinner. And I'm sorry, I'm not giving the credit where credit is due. This is not my idea, but his idea of a perfect Thanksgiving or a perfect dinner party with the family is the moment everybody gets in, you set a timer for 90 minutes. After 90 minutes, get the hell out of my house. It's done. You've had your parties over. Go home.
Whale sounds. You play the whale sounds.
Play the whale sounds, which I think is an interesting idea. I mean, I don't mind doing it, but at some point, nobody knows what to do. Or you just like when somebody to go, we're done, right? We can all leave, right?
You don't love each other that much.
No, I mean, it's not love. It's just like you're just sitting there just like carp out of water on the sofa, just flopping around.
Or in Eve's bathtub.
Did you guys... This is something that I've missed for many, many years going up to see my parents since they've stopped sort of cooking anything. Leftovers. Thanksgiving leftovers the next day somehow to me always felt like, like the best part, like even better than the 90 minutes that you spent with the family the night before. Is there anything that's like a random, weird leftover thing that you would do after Thanksgiving? Yeah, besides the sandwich with the stuffing and you put the cranberry on top and then you maybe put a little bit of mashed potatoes on top and put gravy on top and then you just eat the fucker.
I don't know. I don't think I did. Courtney, Laura, did you guys have anything? When you're shaking your head, I just want to remind you, this is a podcast, Laura.
Oh, right. Sorry.
No. This a snort. He snorted.
He snorted. He laughed so hard.
We should have a narrator. Lori has shaken her head. No. Courtney.
Exit stage left.
Yeah. It is a podcast.
Just a normal. Oh my God, you're funny. Just the normal stuff.
You commented on the fact that it sounded like there's a lot of food made. And part of that is on purpose, because then you could make shepherd's pie, or you could take a ham hock or the ham, and we'd do like a corn chowder, mm-hmm. and then you'd have a vegetarian version, and then you can even make it vegan. I think it's kind of fun. Like, for me, it's like playtime. Right. You have all the leftovers and you're like, okay, what's here? It's like MacGyvering it. You've got this, this, and that. What can I try to zhuzh up to make it yummy? And I try to usually do different flavors and things like that.
There's an expiration date on everything that came out of that original meal, because after about 2 days, you're like, I don't want any more of this crap. I just want a nice marinara. Yes. Give me some pasta. Please, no more turkey. Was there any expectation with people to have that sort of Norman Rockwell kind of moment? Or was it just like complete bedlam when you guys were growing up as kids? It's literally that Norman Rockwell painting where the family's down this way. It's a nice sort of single point perspective. Here's mom with the turkey.
Designer's going.
It was never like that. I mean, did anybody have that sort of bucolic Thanksgiving exactly like that? Or because ours was just like, yeah, food's down, everybody eat, pandemonium.
I have a brother. So before my parents separated, there was 4 people at the table.
What about Courtney? Because you traveled a lot, right?
Enjoyed ourselves and celebrated and had good
time. And how hard was it to find the accoutrement? Because if you're like in Germany, can you get all that stuff?
So if you can get to one of the military bases, you have access to American supermarket. To be honest with you, the harder time was when I was in France for part of my schooling and I could only get thinly sliced turkey breasts, and you could only get like 2 pieces in a package. So I was buying like 20 packages to try to do some sort of turkey dish.
Was this like deli meat?
There's a store in Paris. I mean, this is so long ago. It's actually a store called Thanksgiving.
What?
And this very entrepreneurial person in November would have imported all of these products and had rented a store space in the Marais, and you'd like wait in line to try to get some stuff that reminded you of home. Now, this is different now. Like now there's like all sorts of stuff available in the supermarkets. It's much easier. But 20 years ago, you were scrambling. But all the other ingredients for everything you want to make are available. Like you can't get the jellied cranberry. You can't
the cream of mushroom soup, not so much.
They don't allow that in the country there.
But they have better mushrooms. So you just make your own cream of mushroom soup. Is that right?
With creme fraiche.
Yes. You just put a little roux and you just put the mushrooms in and add a lot of cream.
But you're not getting the pump full of antibiotics and steroids turkeys over there. You're getting like a Cornish hen or something like that.
I was going to say,
right?
Well, let's just say we did not feel like Eve after a sinker matzo ball. And there was an added cheese course.
There should be.
And you'd have an apple galette. You'd make those like fold over apple tart thingies.
Instead of just the apple pie with the cheese.
So then pumpkin pie or apple pie or both?
Both.
Here's another question for everybody. What is the tradition back then? You come over, there's got to be some kind of snacks before you have the giant meal.
Chex Mix.
Is that what it is?
Chex Mix. Yes. Chex Mix.
Like a flavored Chex Mix or the regular Chex Mix? Not like the muddy.
Well, they're all flavored. Otherwise, it's just
you get the Chex and everything and you put it on the cookie sheet. You seasoned whatever you're supposed to do to it. And then you have it kind of like a little warm out of the oven. Oh, and you watch the football game. It's so good.
Mm. Oh, she doesn't mean out of the bag.
No, she made her Chex Mix. You have in the bag.
That's all fancy.
What about you, Chris? Did you have like a snack?
I don't remember. If it's the Midwest, there's probably like pigs in the blanket or, you know.
Oh, my God.
If you're getting fancy, maybe there's some shrimp or something with cocktail sauce. Maybe some cheese and crackers, the cheese log. It's hard to remember. Now we do like a crudité because it's a little bit lighter because you're going to just stuff yourself with carbs in a half hour or so.
And you're in California. You guys may know this. You never starve in a Jewish house, no matter what. There's always food, and there's food before, there's food during, there's food after, there's food to prep for the food. There's just food. That's just how it goes. There was always chicken livers, no matter what. There was chicken livers. There was a cheese plate. Like you said, I don't think we had Stilton, but fucking chicken livers, man. I just can't.
I mean, it's an acquired, if it's part of what you grew up eating, then it's just, oh, that's not so bad.
No, it's bad.
Kind of stuff. I mean, I don't mind chicken livers that much.
Really?
I'm not like leaping over to the restaurant going, boy, I really like
it. You're not racing out?
No, we're not going to have that for dinner, but if it's there, it's like, you try it. If it's awful, you go, oh, that was awful. I'll never eat that. You know,
are you one of those? Are you a trier?
I'll try it. Yeah.
No.
I'm not a trier.
Me either.
Like, I remember we spent the day at Coney Island in Brighton Beach, and then we ended up in this Russian restaurant, Borscht, and this this and bring out the tongue. And you're like, oh.
Oh, tongue.
It was like, okay, I'll try that. And you're like,
you know what? I shouldn't do that because I could live off of menudo and it's tripe. But I don't, right. I don't eat it. But you have to cook. You have to make it with it for the flavor.
Oh, right. And did you take the tripe out?
I'll just eat the hominy and right. soup.
But the flavor of the tripe
you
is in there.
You have to. Yeah.
You gotta try it. Just try it. I mean, if you hate it, if haggis is there, try it. Oh, God. It's not awful. It's bad, but it's not awful. You know?
What's the difference between bad and awful? I mean, it's like, you're gonna throw up a little bit or throw up a lot?
No, bad is just like, nah, not for me. Awful is you're running for the toilet or a wastebasket.
Is it a spit out or is it a throw up? That's what Eve wants to know.
I get to the point, man. I mean, it's not kind of like, you know, you don't gently just put it down and stick it under a napkin. You can.
Oh, sure.
My God. Which, again, isn't a Thanksgiving based thing, but it is a holiday. It's a Jewish holiday thing that there's a break fast for Yom Kippur. But my family has a fish feast because it's Jewish and you get all the family together. There's blintz, different kinds of blintzes, but like every single type of smoked fish that you can imagine. And I don't eat it. My cousin, who we're both named after his grandmother, he doesn't eat it either. And we were always singled out and off to the side, and I had corned beef. So Everett and I would be sitting in a corner very delicately eating our corned beef, and they'd be like, no, here, try this terrible shit. Whitefish stuff. It's just, maybe that just sort of set me off as a kid that I just went to so many of those that I couldn't possibly think about eating them as a grown up.
Maybe if they threw some tomato sauce on it or something, you know, that would have changed it.
Has to be pureed.
Maybe the Jews need a little bit more marinara on top of all their traditional food.
Marinara makes everything better.
I have a slight allergy to tomatoes and I just love them so much. Growing up in the Midwest, where the ground is so fertile because the glaciers scraped everything from Canada. So you have like 10 feet of black soil. You could sneeze on the ground and something will grow there. But the heirloom tomatoes are so delicious in the Midwest. You could just slice it up with a little tomato sandwich and
salt and pepper and you're done.
Salt and pepper. That's it. It's delicious.
But you get sick from it. What happens if you eat a tomato?
I don't
just care. A little bit it's of
like
death. Of
those, no, I'm like not slamming myself with an EpiPen or anything. It's just like a little scratchy, but
my ears start to itch when I eat avocados.
Interesting.
Another Mexican thing. So you can't eat avocados?
Okay, I eat avocados.
Wait, what?
I eat avocados. My ears start to itch.
What part of your ear itches?
Like right here, like, ugh.
Like the inside?
On the inside, yes.
Like the outer?
No, the inside. My ears start to itch.
Interesting.
Cantaloupe too.
That's either vertigo or tinnitus.
So this Thanksgiving is going to be a little different with family, positive. So I just had the conversation with my mother that I'm not going to spend Thanksgiving with my family because of COVID. So it's going to be very different. What are all of you guys planning for families or not families for this year? Like Courtney, are you doing your big feast or are you not because of COVID? You are.
I'm doing the whole thing.
How many people are coming? Do you know? Or it doesn't matter?
Zero. I'm assuming zero.
So you're making everything? You're making the turkey? You're making the three kinds of cranberry?
Yeah. It's Thanksgiving.
Chris, what are you guys doing for Thanksgiving?
I'm not going to elaborate, but we had to close our pod recently. So our extended family that we were socially distancing with, because certain people have actually spent more time out there, have had COVID tests. We've been very safe. So we'll probably have something just with our California family, small family out here. But who knows?
Will she cook like she usually does or no?
Well, she and her sister usually trade off. And we do it sort of as a group effort. It's like one person is never responsible for everything. So just to make it easier.
Lori,
so,
what are you doing?
My cousin used to come for Thanksgiving and I would do the Whole Foods thing. And I used to cook. And then one year I was like, I wonder if it's any good. And it's really good.
I've done it too.
It's really good. And I was like, okay, it's really good. And I don't have to spend all this time, even though I love cooking Thanksgiving. But I don't know what I'm going to do this year. I cook for myself if I'm by myself. I don't care.
But
I'm
it's a big meal. Would you make everything?
Oh, yeah.
You can just get a turkey breast, too. And just
that's right.
That. I normally go with my family. And even though if it's they're not cooking, we're still together. We're still eating the same foods. We still have some leftovers. So 1:30 in the morning, you're coming down and eating some turkey. I'm not going to have that this year. So I don't really know.
You won't do anything for yourself?
I don't know. I think I'm going to make my stuff and muffins. I'll destroy my kitchen, but it's me and it makes like a fuck ton of muffins. So what am I going to do with it? I guess I,
can freeze them. Yeah,
I guess so. But I second that with Lori, that Whole Foods, mm-hmm. especially if it's just one, and you get sort of little servings of everything,
mm-hmm.
has everything you could possibly want. And I'll probably
and good.
You can also get a wrist rocket and just start launching those sumbitches down onto the street too.
What if you fling them to your spy neighbors?
My spies. Maybe that's one way to make friends, right? Is I need to get one of those trebuchets that Chris has been talking about and just send it over to their balcony. That's going to be an interesting Thanksgiving, but hopefully we've got some good stuff to be thankful for. And I am grateful for you guys. That's it for us this week. I hope you've learned something at least about eggplants being bad for Christopher and for Carp in my family. Thanks for listening to Gen X Stories. Drop us a note at hello@genxstories.com and we may do some shout outs on a future episode. You can also subscribe to Gen X Stories on your favorite podcast app. Follow us on Instagram @GenXStories or join our ever-growing Facebook group and maybe share some of your holiday food traditions. We all have a Gen X story. What's yours?